of the place asked him of his wife, and he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "She is my wife." Thus said he, "The men of the place shall kill me for Rebecca, because she was fair to look upon." It came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at a window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebecca, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidst thou, she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." And Abimelech said, "What is this that thou hast done? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldst have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He that toucheth this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Then Isaac sowed in that land, and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great, and went forward, and grew, till he became very great. For he had possession of flocks, and possessions of herds, and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." And Isaac departed thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called the name of it Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said for us, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him that same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham thy father, fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." And he built an altar there, and he called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Huzzah, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of the army, his army. And Isaac said unto them, "Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you?" And they said, "We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there be now an oath betwixt us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done nothing unto thee, we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now the blessed of the Lord." And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink, and they rose up betimes in the morning, and swore one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. And it came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." And he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba unto this day. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Beshemoth, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah. And three verses in the 35th chapter. The end of the chapter. 27th verse. And Jacob came unto Isaac his father unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Now there are 12 chapters devoted to the life of Abraham in Genesis. About 25 to the life of Jacob. But there's only one chapter given us in regard to Isaac, except a few other verses. Now Isaac is a picture to us of the heavenly man. Now, if you have been saved, no matter how young you are, you're in this category. You belong to heaven. And so, whatever we say this afternoon, generally we'll have to do with young people as well as old people. And principally this afternoon, we're speaking to young people. One chapter devoted to the history of Isaac, the heavenly man. And so there are many things here that we can learn in regard to one who is a heavenly man. Everyone who has Christ as their Savior belongs to heaven. We're on our way now. The first thing we read about him here is that there's a famine in the land. You know, there was a man who was converted, and I saw him a year later, and he was on crutches and had some very difficult problems. And he said, is this what it means to be a Christian? Yes. That's right. Little do we know the work that God is doing to prepare us for heaven. And so everything that comes into our lives has a purpose. And God has a purpose concerning every one of us. And He has a plan for your life and mine. It'd be much better for us to be on our knees to find out His plan than to take our own course and ways. Because if we do, we'll go wrong. And we may have to retrace our steps. Now we're reading about a river here. Or a brook. It's called Besor. It's the same river that Abraham went up on the way to Hebron. It's a picture to us. Besor means glad tidings. Now this river has several branches. If you look on the map sometime when you have time, you'll notice that it has a branch that goes to the south country. It has a branch that goes to the land of salt. But we're going to speak, first of all, of this branch that goes into Gerar. Now, Gerar is a picture of the religious enemies in the land. And that's the first place that Isaac goes. He had started for Hebron. Hebron was his object. It's a picture to us of the heavenly places. But we find that he goes first to Gerar. But we notice now, the Lord appeared unto him. Two times in this chapter, the Lord appears to him. The first time he appears to him, he tells him about what he's going to do for him. Not what Isaac has to do, but what he's going to do for him. Now, isn't this wonderful that God has done something for us? What has He done for us? Has He given us land and all these things down here? No, we're a heavenly people. Turn with me to Ephesians 1, just for four verses. We haven't time to go into it, but just to read it and notice what God has given us. Now in Ephesians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all or every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, what are these verses? Well, it's God musing on what his own counsels have brought. Think of it. God is thinking now about what his counsels have brought. He's going to have children with him in heaven. That's these four verses. Notice the word happy, the word good pleasure. It's God's good pleasure. What a wonderful thing for us to know that God is doing all this for his own eternal happiness, and he's going to share that happiness with us. Now, Isaac, of course, just gives us a little picture of these things in the form here, but it makes us think of our portion as a heavenly people. But what we'd like to speak of this afternoon in regard to it is our pathway down here and some of the things that Isaac did that he shouldn't have done, and also the fact that he did obey. We'll notice now, back to the 26th of Genesis, God has told him to sojourn in this land that he's given him. The sixth verse, Isaac dwelt at Gerar. Now Isaac should have known that his father had made a covenant with the heathen, or the Philistines, I should say, enemies in the land, at Beersheba. His father had drawn a line. You find that in the 21st chapter. We won't turn to it. And there is a line, dear young people, this afternoon between a heavenly man and this world. Abraham was the father of faith. He drew a line at Beersheba, and he made a covenant with them. And Isaac was not to go down and dwell in Gerar. He was to dwell where his father dwelt. And the covenant had been made before. And so he should have known. And you know, dear young people, there are many things that you and I should know because our fathers and mothers have taught us. But we don't think of it sometimes. And so we do make mistakes, don't we? Now there's a verse here I'd like to read. It says, in the second verse, go not down into Egypt. You know, someone said to me at one time, what's the difference between a red light and an obstacle? They're talking about the path of faith. Sometimes God puts a red light up. Stop. Now, Isaac stopped. He didn't go down to Egypt. His father did. But God hadn't told his father not to, as far as I know. But he had told Isaac not to, and Isaac obeyed. He didn't go down to Egypt. But he did go to Gerar. God hadn't told him not to go to Gerar, as far as I know. That was the city of the Philistines. People who are enemies in the land. And immediately he has problems. And if you and I do not walk by faith, we're going to have problems. We may have problems just the same too, but we're not going to be having problems out of communion like he did. Because at Gerar he had no altar. What's an altar for? Do you have an altar at home? Do you have a set time and place where you get into the presence of God? Where you read and pray? And do those things that are in keeping with a heavenly man? Isaac dwelt at Gerar. We're not to dwell in this world. It's not our dwelling place. No. And so he begins to have problems, and then he has to lie to get out of them. You know what the scripture says in Numbers, be sure your sin will find you out. Singular. Some particular sin. Be sure of it, it will find you out. Well, now what's the difference then between a red light and an obstacle? Well, we find in this chapter obstacles. He had obeyed the signal and he didn't go into Egypt. But all the time he's in Gerar, he has one thing after another in his way. God prospers him, that's true, but he prospers him in the place where he shouldn't be. He should never have been in Gerar. And finally, we find he has to retrace his steps, too, to get back in the right path. It's possible in great measure that his time was wasted there because he didn't walk by faith. And this is solemn, too. I'm sure where there's faith, God will make up the wasted years. We're told that. But there's real faith and exercise of soul. But now he has to be rebuked by the king, Abimelech. And you know, it's nice that God comes in. If there is any faith at all, he'll come in and correct us. We should listen to those corrections that he gives. Because this thing is straightened out immediately, and now this part of his journey is past. But why did he lie? Father lied. Abraham carried a lie with him for over 60 years. Said that his wife was his sister. And so his son does the same thing. How about, Father? What kind of an example are you giving to your children? Do you know your children are watching you? There's some young fathers here this afternoon. Your children are watching you. What are you doing? So he lied. You see, it hadn't reached his conscience before. And so someone outside, it wasn't the heavenly man, had to rebuke him. Isn't that solemn? Been nice if his father had straightened him out, you know. But his father left him a bad example, even though his father was the father of faith to us. So we go on. And it says, 12th verse, then Isaac sowed in the land and received the same year an hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, and so on. You know, it's wonderful that God blesses us. And the reason is because Christ has been set to be blessings. You'll read that in the 21st Psalm. In the margin. God has set Christ to be blessings, and it can't be otherwise. But the point is, do you want your blessings in the right place or the wrong place? You see? You can't enjoy these things rightly when you have a bad conscience. When you're with the enemy in his land, you cannot enjoy these things. And that brings us to the point of separation. Unless you and I, dear ones, are walking in separation, we cannot enjoy the blessing of the Lord. Now, many have been blessed very much when they were out of the path, blessed in natural things. But that doesn't mean that they were in the right state of soul just because God blessed them in natural things. No. And so one can be deceived by this very thing and say, well, I'm going on well. The Lord's blessed me. Look at how the Lord has blessed me. Look how much He's given me in natural things. That's not the measurement, brethren, for a heavenly man. It's spiritual things. Blessed with every blessing in the heavenlies. That's our blessings. So don't be deceived by the things in your circumstances. Now, he sowed and the Lord gave him 100-fold. But now we come to something else. It says, end of the 14th verse, and the Philistines envied him. Trouble, trouble, trouble. Yeah? May I say to you as heavenly ones, don't ever put yourself in a position where the world envies you. Don't do it. That's not your place down here. Where the world envies you because of your personal possessions. You see, in the first place is in the wrong position. In the second place, he's occupied with the things that belong to the enemy's land. Now, Abraham had dwelt there once, but he moved out to Beersheba. But Abraham had had wells there. His father's servants, Abraham's servants, had dig. But the Philistines had stopped them with earth. Now, when you're in the world, even the religious world, all you're going to get in the place of refreshment is earth. Earth, earth, earth. That's all. And the Philistines are busy to stop up the place of refreshment with earth. Not heavenly things, but earth. Just the things of this earth. Just go out of this room and go down the street. And if you allow yourself, you'll be filled right up with what this world has in a few moments. On the signboards, every place. The earth, the earth, the earth. You get it in the schools. Every place you go, they're going to fill your minds with what belongs to this earth. But you and I are heavenly people. We don't belong here. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. You know, it's one thing for you to say, well, I'm not going to walk with the world. But that's your choice. And then you go back again sometime, you know. But when the world drives you out, you can't, can you? And that was God's doing. We see God's working here at every step. But he's allowing him to go through an experience. In the case of Egypt, he said, don't go down to Egypt. That was a definite commandment, and he didn't go. But God didn't say, don't go to Gerar, because there are certain things in our lives that we have to pass through and experience, and God allows them in our lives. And now, he says, get out. He wasn't very happy the moment for him to tell him to get out. He'd been established there. He was going on and prospering. Get out, he says. God was behind that. Oh, how God loves us. He's not going to let us go on in the ways we shouldn't. Even if he has to use the enemy to drive us out of the position we're in. Good if we learned these principles when we were young, instead of having to wait till we're old before we learn them. How many of us hadn't learned many of these things as we got older? Because we didn't learn them when we were young. And Isaac departed thence. Now where is he? He's in the valley now, outside of Gerar. He's not in the city any longer, but he's only gone part way. Oh, dear ones, how hard it is to get us out of this religious world through which we're passing. But God is patient. He's going to continue till he's clear out. He's going to continue with us till we're in the enjoyment of our spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. He's going to keep at it. He pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar. Now he has a tent, all right. He's a pilgrim, you know. Pilgrim has a tent. Abram had a tent. And the tent speaks of many things. It speaks of a simple life. In other words, it speaks of a life without glamour. Are you following a glamorous life? That's not a pilgrim life. A simple life is simple things surrounding us. Not the things that characterize this world, no. Simple things that belong to a pilgrim and a stranger. We don't have our home here. The prophet says it's polluted. We don't have to tell one another that. Oh, what a mercy to be gathered here today in this room, away from the world a little while, that the Spirit of God might speak to our hearts and consciences, to warm our hearts because we get cold outside. Isaac was cold. Cold in his heart. He has a tent now in the valley. Well, much could be said even in the valley. It's a low place, you know. But now it says, it goes back to the wells again. And they cleaned the wells up. That's a good step. But he doesn't change anything. He's wells, he calls them by the name in which his father called him. He's beginning to wake up, isn't he? He's on his way now, but it's God behind him all the time, moving him along in his soul through the obstacles that God has allowed in his life. Oh, they're good, these obstacles. If it hadn't been for these obstacles, Isaac would have still dwelt in Gerar, where he should never have been. Oh, how patient God is. You know, we're in a day of new doctrines in every place. New doctrines. A man that I knew, in fact, he was a relative who was a minister. He said that we don't believe anymore, it's supposed to be fundamental, we don't believe anymore in the dates in Scripture. He said Adam lived eons ago. New doctrine. He doesn't believe in Genesis and the fact that Adam lived at a certain time. He doesn't believe that. And yet he's teaching in a fundamental way, he says. Think of it. You know, we believe what God says. Adam didn't depart from what his father had established in the names. He carried on the same names. And when his soul is recovered, he'll go back to the truth. He won't invent something new. And the reason we have 1,200 to 1,500 denominations or more of the Christian faith is because someone has invented something new all the way along. That's man, not God. Well, Isaac digged again the wells of water. 19th verse, and Isaac's servants digged in the valley. That's a good place to dig. You know, valley speaks of a low place. And Saul's blessing in a low place. And that's what we're supposed to do, take a low place before God, and oh, there'll be blessing. And they found living water. Isn't that nice? Living water. Springing or living, same word. But what about it? It's the wrong place. And so now his herdmen strive with him. And the place is called striving. That's really the meaning of that word. So, he knows something of grace, so he moves on. Do you know anything about grace? Are you going to strive back, or you just move on? The Lord was pushing him right out of that country. Now he digs another well, and now they hate him. The herdman. He's still in the wrong place. Oh, how hard it is for some of us to get out of this world in separation. God's going to keep after us, beloved, because he loves us and loved us long before this world was made. And his love is everlasting, as we were singing or reading. Now he finds another place, and they don't strive with him anymore, this room. That's another test. That's down the end of the road. And much as to say, Isaac, you want to stay here? I've made room for you if you want to stay. You know, it must have hurt Isaac when he saw that, because he got out right away. Oh, how God works. He has his own marvelous ways of working with our souls. He says, Isaac, go ahead, stay here. I made room for you. You want to be here? Do you want to be here, beloved? Do you want to have your portion in this world? It's going to burn pretty soon. And everything you do is going to burn with it. When you've been blessed in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, accepted in the Beloved One, do you want this world? And he went from thence to Beersheba, where he should have been long ago. How long has it taken you to get out of this world in your spirit, dear ones? How long has it taken me? And even now, our poor hearts oftentimes go back after the things of this world. Isn't it so? It shouldn't be so. But now notice what happens when he gets to Beersheba. I said he didn't have an altar down there. And so he had no communion with God. But that very night, it says, the Lord appeared unto him. Isn't that nice? Do you want to go on in communion? Do you really? Have the fellowship of the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, in practice down here? Is this what you want? That's what I want. I don't always show it, but that's what I want. And that's what he finally got. Has the Lord been working with you this way? Well, I'm sure he has with me. And now, oh, how good to know that it's all his work and not mine. All his work. I can't look back and say I did this and I did that. If I had, I'd been still living in Gerar. But the mercy, the kindness, the love of God, have done it all. Now, we were speaking of that red light and also the obstacles. And you know, beloved, there's a difference between will and weakness. Will and weakness. In the end of this chapter, we have Esau manifesting his will. His father didn't want him to marry the heathen, so he goes right out and marries them. Gets a wife from the heathen, Hittites. He knew his father didn't want him to, so he went out and did it. That's a natural man without anything from God. Just as the natural mind would do. Always doing his own will. Now, what is weakness? When Peter denied the Lord, he didn't want to deny the Lord. And when he did, he wept bitterly. He did it in weakness. When Abraham went down into Egypt, it was weakness. He had obeyed the command of God. The God of glory appeared to him. And he says, come out, and I'll put you in the land that I want you in. But it was weakness that led him down into Egypt. But we find at the end of this chapter with Esau, he did what he wanted to do. Am I doing what I want to do? That's will. And if I fail, is it because I'm weak? Yes. Turn with me to Psalm 103, I believe it is. 10th verse. Psalm 103, 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Notice that word us. It's the believer. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Now I say there's a difference between will and weakness. And we have in the New Testament the fact that we have a great high priest on high who's interceding for us continually to keep us in the path. Just like we see the picture of the Lord prodding him to get out of Gerar. Now that river I spoke of has another branch that goes down into the south. It's called the path of ease and pleasure, you know, down the south. But he never went that way. Once the Lord got him back into the path, and he had the Lord before him as his object, he never goes down in that south country of ease and pleasure. He doesn't take that path. And he doesn't have to go to the Valley of Salt either, as far as we know, which is correction. He didn't have to go that way. The Lord's work is good, you know. As for God, his way is perfect. And once he had done this work in Isaac's soul, Isaac stayed in the path. Is it so with you this afternoon? Has the Lord done that work in your soul where he's keeping you right in the path, the good path, enjoying the fact that you are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that your blessings are heavenly? Or are you still going after the things down here as an object? Oh, how he speaks to our hearts in this. As a father pitieth his children. And so it says here, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. He repeats all the blessing that he'd given him before. He's brought him back. Brought him back and given him that same message all over again. He must have gotten cold, like some of us have gotten cold. And we've had to have that message repeated, and how good it is to get together again for these 3 days to have the message repeated that we're children of God, seated in the heavenlies. He loves us. He loved us before the foundation of the world. He still loves us. And his ways towards us are very good, it says in Scripture. I think it's Psalm 139. Very good. Even the ways of his proddings, shall we say. I am with thee. Isn't that nice? Oh, how good to go on to know every day that the Lord is with us. And those trials, because you'll have trials even then. He'll never let up until we're home. We have too many lessons to learn. I will be with thee. And he says at least twice in Scripture, I will never leave thee and forsake thee. Never. Faith believes this, and this is our happiness. And so he had to learn that his happiness was not in circumstances. His happiness was in communion. Now what happens? He builds an altar. Oh, what a long time without an altar. Do you have an altar? He builds an altar in the right place. He couldn't have an altar in the other place. He's got an altar now. Oh, what a sad thing to see a home where children are brought up without an altar. Parents, what are you going to do with your children if you don't have an altar? They're going out into the world. Look down at the end of the chapter just for a moment. Thirty-fourth verse. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, Bathsheba, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, which were a grief or bitterness of spirit unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Now that verse shows us that there was now communion, and that's why there's bitterness of spirit. If you read the book of Ruth, you will see that Naomi had gone astray. She led her sons astray. They died in the land of Moab. We never see any tears from that mother. She lost her husband and her sons. No tears. Why? Because her heart was hardened, that's why. And there were no tears. Dear ones, if you have any children going astray, are there any tears for them? Is there any bitterness of spirit? Or you just say, well, okay, that's the way it is. Can't help it. In one way, there's no communion. The other way, there's communion. If there's bitterness of spirit, it's communion. It's when Ruth got back to the land, then she wept. Then she had bitterness of spirit when the word of the Lord had come to her, not before. And so when Isaac is back, we have this record about Esau. One of his sons had gone astray. And there's bitterness of spirit. But now we find the enemy comes and he wants to make peace. And here the enemy had driven him out. Are you going to have peace? You will if God makes peace in your life, otherwise not. Do you want to have a happy life down here? Well, God will have to make it for you. And if you respond to His gently leading you on in the path of faith, the end will be you'll be living in peace. Now, in that passage we read in the 35th chapter, we find that the Scripture tells us that Abraham and Isaac dwelt in Hebron. It doesn't say that here. The story is very short. But now we learn that that's where he spent his life, in Hebron, after he had been corrected. Oh, how good this is. For a believer to spend his life in the enjoyment of heavenly things instead of all the time having that which is correcting in such a manifest way, as we've noticed, living in the enemy's land. And having to be corrected continually so that he might live in the good of what God has provided for him. And oh, how much good God has provided for us. Why is it, beloved, when you and I have so much, we have the very the very manna of heaven for us now. A risen, glorified Christ to feed upon. Are we going to feed on the husks of this world? Are we going to be occupied with what is for this religious world? And you know that's the worst part of the world, the religious world. It's the religious world that crucified our Savior. It's the religious world that is persecuting the Christian down through the ages. You read in the 18th chapter of Revelation that Jezebel will have to answer for the killing of all of God's prophets. That's the world, the religious world. So in this chapter then, we have the servants finding water. Notice that in the 32nd verse. Finds water in the very place we're supposed to be. On this side of Beersheba, the well of the oath. Water speaks of refreshment, and you and I have to have refreshment. If we're heavenly people, we have to have heavenly refreshment. They found water in the place where they should have the water. That's the end of this story. It's a lovely story. May it be the story of your life, beloved, your young people, that you find water in the place where you should have the water. And oh, how good it is to know, as we're gathered to the precious name of the Lord Jesus, that He's given us the truth. And if you read in Colossians 1, you'll see He's given us all the truth. There's no more to be had. He's given us all the truth. Let's avail ourselves of it then. Shall we sing number 1? In the back of the book, number 1 in the back.